His story is lost in the mists of time, and he isn't even considered one of the church's foremost saints. But the cult surrounding the 3rd century martyr, St. Valentine, has spawned a multi-million dollar business on his feast day. According to the early martyrologies, there are at least two Valentines who lived in the 3rd century. One was the Bishop of Terni in Italy, whilst the other was a Christian priest in Rome. Some accounts even speculate that these two figures were actually the same man. According to the popular story, the priest Valentine was a kind-hearted man who married young Christian couples against the wishes of the Roman emperor and was beheaded for his deeds on or about the year 270 AD. Some two centuries later, Pope Gelasius I named February the 14th as St. Valentine's Day. In modern times, the cult surrounding St. Valentine has triggered a massive global business around the sending of Valentine cards, red roses, and other romantic tributes to one's loved one on February the 14th. But how did this 3rd century martyr become the patron saint of lovers in the first place? And what would he make of all the commercialization surrounding his name day in modern times? Well, to find out the answers, I spoke to Father Chris Crowley, prior of the Carmelite community at the White Friars Church in Dublin, Ireland, that holds some of the relics of St. Valentine. Ireland is one of several European countries that are home to relics of this saint. The others are found in Italy, France, Malta, Austria, England and Scotland. I began by asking Father Crowley how the relics of St. Valentine ended up in the Dublin church.
Each day is Valentine.
The relics of St. Valentine were gifted to Father John Spratt, who restored the Carmelite order to great vitality in Dublin in the early 1800s. And during a visit to Rome in 1835, where he was received as a celebrated preacher, he preached in the presence of the Pope of the day, who was impressed. Irish Catholicism was being revitalized after the harsh penal days, and I suppose he gifted many Irish clergy who came to Rome, but he gave Valentine to our Father John Spratt, who brought it home and has been here at White Friars Church at the heart of Dublin ever since.
There are, of course, other churches, well, a number of other churches in France, Malta, Austria, England and Scotland, who also say they have some relics of the saint. Is there some sort of friendly rivalry between you all?
No, there's no rivalry whatsoever. It's quite common practice. Altar stones and Catholic Church high altars, generally speaking, would have relics of early martyrs or some saints in their altar stone, as we say, which is at the centre of the altar where the Holy Eucharist is consecrated. So Valentine may be in many, many places. And as well as that, we understand that there were about 14 martyred Christians in the early church called Valentine.
OK, tell us a little bit about what happens on his feast day each year in your church.
On the eve of the feast day, the evening before, we take the casket from its ordinary resting place at his shrine altar and let it rest before the high altar. And it's there for the whole of St. Valentine's Day, and then we return it to its customary relic place. And during the day, the media in Ireland usually give it some mention, and more people will come to visit our church on that day than on other days of the year. Just to touch the casket with a prayer or for a bit of luck. We're touchy people, I suppose, and we like to touch things that are holy, especially in invocation of God's blessing, St. Valentine's prayers, and better to do it than not to do it.
And is there also, during the Eucharist, a blessing of the rings of married couples on St. Valentine's Day?
That's right. At more than one church services on that day, towards the end of the Mass, after communion time usually, we bless rings of all sorts, rings that are important to people for whatever particular significance, with particular emphasis, both on people committed to one another through engagement or in marriage itself.
Okay, now let's find out a little bit more about the legend of St. Valentine, because his story is somewhat lost in the mist of time, isn't it?
I believe
that one of the early accounts says that there were two Valentines who suffered martyrdom for the faith in the 3rd century. What's your information on this?
Sure, there were a number of martyrs called Valentine who were quite prepared to die and who in fact were put to death as martyrs for the faith in the early centuries of the church. during the persecutions. But our Valentine, we believe, is associated with the 14th of February in particular, and that's when we celebrate his feast, because that was the day celebrating and held as an honour in pagan Rome, as we would say, to honour Juno, queen of the pagan gods and goddesses. And she was the goddess of women and the goddess of marriage. And then the next day after that began the Feast of Lupercalia. And this was celebrated in grand style, with the Romans carrying out fertility rites, invoking their goddess Februa, from whom the month of February takes its name. And mating was conducted on that day also. At the time, boys and girls were brought up strictly apart from one another, but families who wanted to retain or strengthen connections, they would betroth one of their sons to the girl of another family. So it's very closely associated with love and commitment and marriage as such. And one of the customs as people grew older on that day was an intriguing one, really. Names would be put, as what we would say today, into a hat, and boys and girls were drawn off with one another, and they were sort of paired together until the same time the following year. And then if their association worked happily, they would become betrothed, and in time they would be married, and their families would be very happy and pleased.
So just to make things clear, the Saint Valentine, whose relics you have in your church, was he the priest, the one who was put to death and about whom there is a legend concerning how he restored sight to the jailer's daughter?
All of those things are associated with our Valentine. But I suppose if I was defending another Valentine, we would say the same things, because these are lost, you know, in history. You know, any good story we would attribute to any particular one of them, I suppose. But sure, as you've put it, we associate all of them with our Valentine.
And can you tell our listeners a little bit more briefly about this legend about how he cured the sight of the jailer's daughter, Saint Valentine?
Yes, he was a Christian, and as the persecutions went on, he was apprehended, arrested, and put in prison himself. And one of the jailer's daughters said, "My girl has lost her sight." And Valentine said he was anxious to meet her. So the girl was brought to him, and he blessed her, and her sight was restored. It's that simple and so straightforward. And in Christian and Catholic tradition in particular, I suppose, we attribute without fuss the miraculous powers to many saints who have died before us.
Of course, in recent decades, St. Valentine's Day often has a far from Christian image. It's in fact spawned, as you well know, a multi-million dollar business around the sending of Valentine cards, red roses and other tributes to one's loved one. But what do you think the original St. Valentine would make of all this commercialization if he were around today?
If I was him, I'd be flattered and delighted, and I'm sure he is, that they were associating his day, his 14th of February, with values like love, respect, mutual attraction, the need to continue the race, to working towards marriage. All of those values would be dear to Valentine, as they would be to myself if I was him. These are all good things to celebrate.
My Valentine, each day is Valentine.
I was speaking there to Father Chris Crowley from the White Friars Church in Dublin, Ireland.